Well, welcome to another Neil's Minute. I'm out walking, so I'm not probably going to stop to actually make sure I get the scriptures quoted right. But God's been doing a lot of things that are new but old, in a sense. I don't know that I will ever not be about intimacy, because I know it's the foundation and it's the fulfillment of everything in the scriptures. Foundation was, he made man in his image and in his likeness for fellowship. Somebody who was a creator who would understand, and they could walk together. He could walk together with them. And then in the New Testament, we see constantly Jesus talking about who we are and what the gospel is and how he walked. And then in the end of it, he tells us that I'm sending you exactly as I'm sent. John 17, he says, my prayer is that we would be one. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and humanity. That we would be one. Not in unity, but in union. And the Lord seems to be taking this in a further place. But I'm quite amazed at how people would rather work to have a relationship with Jesus than just be in one. I heard a guy today, and he's talking about he had figured out how he could get God to speak to him. First, he had to make sure his heart was pure, and he had this thing all set up so that you could do these things and God would answer you with a yes or no statement kind of relationship, one that didn't take any intimacy. And as he is going through this stuff, I was thinking of all the scriptures that say, my sheep hear my voice. If you ask the Father anything, he will answer you. There's so much. John 18, 37, the last part of it. Saying, those who are of the truth hear my voice. It's just like plain. He doesn't say could or should. It says, those who are of the truth hear my voice. And it's a relationship. It's not a job. It's not something you can learn to do. It's something you do. I mean, how do we have relationships between one another? We talk. There's a conversation. There's feelings. There's pictures. There's all kinds of things involved in relationships, but they all have to do with communication. The relationship is the result of the conversation, or even better, the relationship is the conversation or communion that you have. Depending on how much you are involved in the relationship will definitely be altered by how much or how little you talk. So God has me on this thing. It's like the last couple of weeks he's been telling me that relationship is not a goal. Relationship is a walk. It's not a process. It's communications. And so the reality of what we're trying to achieve by working, by getting ourselves pure, by confessing our sins well enough, by, finding a holy moment. You confess your sins and then you sit down and hopefully you didn't do something wrong while you're sitting down, and then maybe you have the chance to hear God's voice. That's just like, I wouldn't want to live in that place. I know I did it one time, but I have no clue why. When I was younger, I used to seek after the gifts of the Spirit, because the charismatic movement in the 80s was all about seeking the gifts, but they never read the last of chapter 12. They never read the last statements that Paul makes in there, you know, but let me show you a better way. And that word better means, you know, that it achieves more. And then he says, love. Now, faith, hope, and love, these three abide, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Well, faith works by love. Hope is energized by love. So the reality was, as I stopped chasing the gifts and I started chasing the giver, I started living for the audience of one. My prayers changed to, Father, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to touch people with your heart. I want to feel your heart. I want to see with your eyes. I want to walk where you walk. I want to know you. And I've never quit praying those prayers. And I've seen everything we dream of seeing when we're praying for the gifts, but we see only occasionally. And I've seen them. And there were no effort involved in them. There was no, well, there is an effort because there's a communion. There's a communication that we keep doing, the Father and I, Jesus and I, Holy Spirit and I. He communicates. I can't take the garbage out without God being there somewhere or other and one or the other of them speaking to me. And it's nothing profound. It's just the relationship. So, what am I getting at? What am I getting at? When I was a baby, I did not have to cry and weep and carry on to learn to know my dad or my mom. They were there all the time. And as I grew, the relationship changed, you know, and it's not like the intimacy grew greater. It changed because I was different as I grow. My parents were different because they were older. So the relationship changes through the experiences of life, but it's not like it gets better. It's just like it changes. You know, and with God, we keep thinking beyond what we experience in this life, that there's a place where we can attain intimacy. You don't attain intimacy, you live it. Intimacy has no limits. It's a walk. It'll depend on how long you're in relationship as to how many different things you learn or do in this relationship, in the conversation, in the communion. And yet, I don't know that it's better. It's easier because we're in a tight communion, and so therefore the conversation becomes easier. The conversation sometimes becomes more profound. Because in communion and in conversation or relationship, you will grow in knowledge of each other. And when you grow in knowledge and wisdom of God, you start seeing how he does things. And then he's looking at you and going, okay, so you can do that. And then he sets you up to do things that are beyond what humanity is capable of. But it isn't like it's better. It maybe is more profound because there's more time spent in it. You have more things that you've done together, so there's a greater trust, so your faith has moved to a higher place. Your love is easier to engage because you wake up with it. You go to sleep with it. You don't have to put up and put the armor of God on. The armor of God is just his presence. Everything in the armor is just Jesus. So I put on Jesus. I'm hidden in Christ. I put on Christ. It's Christ that lived within me. No longer I that live. Because you get swallowed up in the relationship. It becomes something that is internal and external and spiritual and physical and mental. But it isn't, I don't have to beat my head against the walls or cry and weep for my sins. It's a relationship. Do we do things wrong? Yeah. But the relationship is bigger than the doing of wrong. God is not sin conscious. God dealt with sin, and he still deals with it. He dealt with it at the cross, and he is dealing with it at the cross. It'll always be that way. If I sin, he'll let me know. And if I do, I apologize. And if he doesn't say something to me, I go on and enjoy his company and we go fishing or we go talk with people or I'm out working doing something and he's having a conversation with me showing how to do my job easier. Those are the realities of relationship. They're not something that I have to lay on the floor and weep and cry to have. If you follow Jesus, the miraculous follows you. He tells us that. If you preach the gospel or share the gospel, show and tell the gospel, these signs are going to follow you. But what is the gospel? The relationship between you and the Father. The relationship between man and the Father that has always existed. Always existed. Even before I was in my mother's womb, he knew me. So you can see that what I'm saying, when are we going to just enter in to the rest that I have a relationship with the Father God just like Jesus the man did when he was on earth? I am equipped to do anything Jesus did. It's part of my nature because I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. What he had, he makes sure I get an even portion of it. He's the firstborn of many brethren. And yet we strive constantly in prayer and in everything to work at this relationship that I was born into. Just like with my earthly mother and father. I was born into that relationship. I didn't have to strive to enter it. I didn't have to live in fear of not attaining it. Every day, every breath was a part of it. And it's the journey. We keep thinking that intimacy is a destination and it's a journey. It's a journey of forever. It's a journey we're going to be on with him no matter where we're at. We'll know even as we're known, but it's not like I have to study to know it. We know. God knows. He says the voice of another we won't follow because they don't know it. There is no intimacy in it. There's a lot of scripture. If you just look, just say, God, show me the scriptures of intimacy. And if you open the book, you found one. It's there. Even in the genealogies, if you look up the names and you look up the meanings of the names, you're going to find a story about intimacy, about the good and the bad and the reality of being God's son, God's daughter. Wow. Wow, wow. Father God is amazing. And he knew. And he wanted us to live in the relationship. So, when you think you're not hearing God's voice, you might want to go back and ask, who did you pray to? And if you prayed to the Father God of the Bible, there's a voice, there's communion, there's communication, that comes as a result of that. He's not going to send the devil to talk for him. Love to all. I pray this message just causes you to get up and start searching for who am I and who is God.